Let us all say amen. I want to thank Brother Kirby on this afternoon for singing those hymns, leading those hymns that we all participated in. And I want to say to those that are with us on this afternoon, this message this afternoon, even though it's a letter to Christians, this letter, we will look at it such that whether you are a Christian or not, one, at this time, you will, because of the subject on this afternoon, and I ask you in advance to perk yourself up, because if you are one that really wants to go to heaven, I want you to perk yourself up and listen to the words of God through the Apostle Peter. And so I want us to know, I want to again thank Brother Winfrey and Brother Fred for the prayers on my behalf that this afternoon I will, as Peter said, speak according to the ability that God has given me that I share with you on this important subject about salvation for those that desire salvation, those that don't even know how to obtain salvation. You'll find on this afternoon, it's in the text on this afternoon. And so I want to speak from the subject on this afternoon, giving diligence, to make your calling and election sure. We'll talk about that. If you're one that wants to go to heaven, how do you ensure that heaven will be your home? Well, Peter shared that with those that were Christians when he wrote the second letter. But I also want to share with those that are worshiping with us this afternoon, what you are experiencing is New Testament worship. The Bible records in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, when those individuals assembled for the first time after the resurrection of Christ, there was five acts of worship that they participated in. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And so apostles' doctrine, that's the apostles' teaching. I will preach from Peter's teaching on this afternoon. Fellowship is when they give back, share with the Lord what the Lord had blessed them with. And the breaking of bread is the communion with the Lord, taking the Lord's Supper. And then, again, as I mentioned, the two brothers that offered prayers on our behalf. And then in verse 47, it says, praising God, as Brother Kirby led us on this afternoon, where we gave praise to God with the fruit of our lips. No instruments are included in worshiping God, as you'll find in the New Testament. When you worship God according to the New Testament, I'm sharing this for those that are not Christians, that are not familiar with the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 13, and the verse is number 15, the Bible says, by him, therefore, let us offer, notice, the sacrifice of praise to God continuously. Then the Hebrew writer says, how do we do that? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We praise God only with the fruit of our lips, not with instruments of music, as some would do. And so I want to share that because I want to make it crystal clear on this afternoon. Brother Brooks did an outstanding job this morning, excellent job of sharing a first century sermon and making it one that those in the 21st century, can't understand. And I want to, on this afternoon, I want to take a letter that Peter wrote in the first century and make it applicable to those of us that are living today, that we can see how heaven can be our home. What Peter said are necessary ingredients that one must possess, that he can make heaven is home. And so I want to start, as I sometimes do, for all of us. Brother Brooks talked about on this morning in Acts chapter 13, whosoever among you feareth God. And I would hope that as Jeremiah realized in Jeremiah 10:23, when he said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah realized and had a fear, a respect for God. And I'm saying to those of us that are on the call this afternoon, if you're one that fears God, as this letter is opened up, you will see those things and those necessary adjustments that we all need to make in life, that we can, as Peter said, make your calling and election sure. So Peter, when he wrote this letter, and I will be going back and touching on points that Brother Brooks shared on this morning, so you can see the letters, his morning preaching, afternoon preaching, are connected one with another, because there are points in both lessons that are consistent through the Word of God. And so when Peter wrote to those Christians in 2 Peter chapter 1 and 5, so I'm talking to those that are Christians, and then if you're listening on this afternoon, you've been invited to be on the call, and you're not. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. You're not, you don't know all there is to know in the Bible. Well, this message, you're at the right place at the right time. So Peter, when he wrote in 2 Peter 1 and 5, he said, and besides this, giving all diligence, and you're going to see that word again, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And he said, and to knowledge, verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And I want to just share again what Peter did after discussing the seven graces that the Christian needs to have enough of added to their faith. The Apostle Peter writes that Christian has a place in the internal kingdom of Christ. This is the reason that the Christian grows in knowledge to live a life according to the Bible. That's why we live. We're trying to live according to the Bible. So Peter gave them the first four graces: virtue, to moral living; knowledge, the Word of God; temperance, being self-controlled; patience, being able to remain calm when dealing with stuff. The first four graces are necessary to form Christian character. You can't have Christian character if you don't have these in you. Yeah, they are yours. You have to possess these things in you. You have to have those things in you. They are part of your Christian character. And then Peter said, after that, he said, godliness, brotherly kindness, verse 7, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And so the last three graces shows that one is a follower of Christ by relationship. Relationship with God, that's godliness. A member of the family of God, that's brotherly kindness. And then charity is what we should have toward all men. And so Peter says that you had to have these. All of these graces are to be a part of you. Some you possess, others you share toward other folk. And then Peter said, and if these things, notice now, be in you, they are yours. and abound, meaning they're abundant. You have enough of them. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, you have to understand that these things have to be in you. And these things is what help you to live. My brother Brooks shared this morning, I want to tie these messages together. He talked about Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. Titus chapter 2 and the verse is number 11, where Titus says in that letter, he said, when Paul wrote to Titus, he said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." Notice what it does. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and godliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Soberly is my responsibility to myself. Righteously is my responsibility toward other men, and godly is my responsibility toward God. And when should I do this? In this present world. In this present world. So we should, going back to Peter's letter, these things have to be in us. Yeah, you have to have them in you. And Peter says, if they're in you, you will not be inactive. If you are inactive in the Lord's body, or you are unfruitful, meaning you don't have enough of them, you don't have the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Peter says, when he say, but he that liketh, he's saying he to whom these things are not present. He says, you are blind. In other words, you're unable to see, and you cannot see afar off. In other words, you're not considering what will or might happen in the future. You are short-sighted. You are seeing only what is near. And I'm going to talk about that this afternoon, because some of us have been caught up with this life, and we are short-sighted. And Peter said, what you have forgotten, or you have forgetfulness, that he was purged. In other words, you were cleansed or washed. God purified you from the guilt of your old sins. All those acts that you did that were disobedient to God's law, you have forgotten. I'm talking to those now that are Christians. Now I'm going to talk to those that are not members of the Church of Christ too. I'm going to make it even so both of us can see ourselves in this message. Peter says, some of us have forgotten that Christ cleansed you from all your past sins. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, and the verse is number 14. Hebrews 9, and the verse is 14, where Peter talks, the Hebrew writer talks about how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God and purge your conscience from dead works, notice now, to serve the living God. Jesus died for you, died for your sins, that your conscience might be cleared of all the bad stuff that we all did before we became Christians. And he did it so that we could serve the living God. Now, Brother Brooks shared this morning from Acts, going back to Acts 13. Let's look at that letter and show where it connects. In Acts chapter 13, and notice now what Jesus did in verse number 29. Acts 13, 29, which parallels to Hebrews 9 and 14, but it shows how he said, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him, talking about Jesus, down from the tree. He died on the tree. He suffered on that tree for 6 hours and died on that tree with nails in his hands and in his feet for every one of us that's on the call and for the world also. And what they did with him after that, they laid him in a sepulcher, a tomb. The Bible says, but God raised him from the dead. Notice the first fact of the gospel is that Christ died on a tree for our sins. The second fact is that they buried him in a tomb. And the third fact was that God raised him from the dead. And after he rose him from the dead, about to make sure that no one could say it didn't happen, the Bible records, and he was seen many days, not just one day, many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And so God, that's the good news, the glad tidings. So I want to say, if you're on the call this afternoon, you're not a Christian. I want to share what Jesus shared in Matthew 6:33. Jesus said to those that were not Christian, didn't have an opportunity to become Christian, he shared with them, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you have to understand, the first thing you need to seek spiritually is the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And then in John chapter 3 and verse 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, knowing that he said that I know that our teacher come from God, Nicodemus said that to him, because he said, no man can do the miracle that thou doest except God be with him. Notice what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you're on the call today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I want you to know that you have to be born again spiritually. You have to be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born, in verse number 5, of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom until you are born again. You have to be born again. You have to seek those things that are spiritual. And as Brother Brooks said this morning, if you are one who fears God, you will do what God says and obey God. There won't be no question. I'm going to share with you what being born again means at the close of the text. But you, if you are one who fears God, you're going to do what God says. Yeah. And you're going to enter into that kingdom. And I'll talk about that. But I want to go back and share where Peter said, but he that liketh these things cannot see afar off. You've forgotten, some of us have forgotten that God had cleansed us up. And I want to say that those that are Christians, members of the Church of Christ, don't allow life to cause you to be short-sighted Christian. Why do you say that, Brother Stroud? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. Notice what Paul in his second letter to Timothy said in verse number 4 about life. He said, no man that wars, he was talking about a good soldier in Christ, that wars entangleth himself with the affair of this life. Why? That he might may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And I'm going to talk about chosen with the word election means the same word, but those that are chosen to be a soldier, what Paul was saying to Timothy was that, understand this here, that if you are a soldier for Christ, you don't allow yourself to get caught up in the affair of this life, the activities of one's profession. In other words, what I'm saying to, for some Christians, it's all about chasing the dollar. For some of us in the Lord, we can't do for the Lord as a Christian because it's all about chasing the dollar. It's all about what you know, it's that Gentile walking. I'll talk about that in a moment. But if some of us get caught up in life, some of us we're more concerned. Let me just say this. Some of us are more concerned about politics than we are about Christianity. We know more about politics than we know about Christianity. But what Paul said to Timothy is that when you're a real soldier, you don't allow yourself, you manage life, but you don't allow yourself to get caught up. The pursuits of life are not at the forefront of your life. Christianity, living as a Christian, trying to please the one who chose you to be a soldier, is your primary goal in life. And then we have those, let me just say this also. Some of us, we get caught up. We're entangled in life. And you know who you are. I know who I am. I know whether I'm caught up or entangled in the affair of this life. But then also there's a second category of Christians. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 17, Paul, when he wrote to those in Ephesus, in the Ephesian letter, Paul said in verse number 17, Ephesians 4, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. In other words, the Gentile walk, Jesus talked about them in Matthew chapter 6. You know, some of us have that Gentile walk. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said in verse 31, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or where shall we be clothed? Notice Jesus said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. So some of us have that Gentile walk. Our walk is about possessing things, and those are the major pursuits of our life. And what Paul said about those individuals, they are walking in the vanity of their mind. And so this is the Christian with a spirit of indifference. What is a spirit of indifference? It's a lack of concern about the church, about things spiritual, even though you aren't a Christian, spirituality is not a part of your, you have a lack of concern about those things, a spirit of indifference. Then how important is the church of Christ to you? How important is serving in the church to you? How active are you? If you are not, then you have, you are the one that Paul talked about in Ephesians 4:17. That's the Gentile walk. Gentile walk. I'm not active. Who is that person? Brother Brooks said this morning in Acts 13. Go back to Acts 13. He shared in verse number 46. He said, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you. In other words, there are some of us, when we hear the word of God, we put it aside. Paul said, or Luke wrote, you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. Some of us are more concerned about this life than eternal life. Why? Because if I was concerned about eternal life, I will be adding these graces that Paul or Peter's going to talk about when we make our calling and election sure. Note what he said back in 2 Peter 1:10. As brother, thank Brother Whitaker for reading on this afternoon. Brother Whitaker sounds so much like James Earl Jones when he reads. Thank you, Brother Whitaker, for having that type of voice. Brother Whitaker says, wherefore the weather, the rather, brother. He says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Know what Paul Peter said. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So let's look at that title. Give diligence. Give diligence. Peter was saying, I'll talk about me. I have to use the ability that God gave me. I have to also exert myself, put energy. Also, it is to seriously or continually try to do something, to give attention and care something. In other words, I'm trying seriously and continually to be the best Christian I can be. Peter said, if you do these things, if I add these seven graces to me, I got to give attention. I got to work on these graces. I got to add these graces to my life. They got to be in me. And I got to, excuse me, exhibit them toward other folks. Why do I do it? Peter said, it is done to make your calling and election sure. The word calling has the idea of an invitation from God to man to accept the benefits of salvation. When you heard the gospel, as I shared this afternoon, Brother Book shared this morning, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Matthew 13:29-31. That's God's invitation to you, that what his son did for you. Now, what you have to do is you have to give obedience to God. Then God will then choose you. That's what the Bible says, to make your calling and election. The word election means to be chosen by God by one's obedience to the word of God. But you'll make your calling and election sure. In other words, you're firmly fixed in place. You are insured of what he's about to say in verse number 11. Now, sometimes we worry about going to heaven. No, make your calling and election sure. Because Peter said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. So now, when I talk about calling, let me share that for those that may not be a Christian and you want to know what the calling is. Well, it's called in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the verse is number 14. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 14, Paul said, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you are called by the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's what calls you. And you can obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so how does the Christian make their calling and election ensured, or to make it certain? Peter said, if you do these things, go back to what Peter said, if you do these things, what things, Peter? The things are to the fulfillment of adding the Christian graces to your faith, those things that are mentioned in verses 5-7, those are the things. If you do these things, Peter said, you shall by no means fall. Now, fall here means not going in the intended direction or to fall into waywardness. What do you mean? What I'm saying, as a Christian, you will never see me, as Brother Brooks oftentimes say, you will never see me leave the church. I may stumble somewhat in challenges, but I'm not moving away from the direction I'm supposed to be going. The word fall again means not going in the intended direction. That being waywardness. You're falling into waywardness. You know, I'm not going to, when we open the doors again, I'm going to be at worship service. You don't have to worry about me listening to the sermon on Sunday morning. You don't have to worry about me as long as God keep my health up, as we're in this mode right now, preaching on Sunday afternoon. You don't have to worry about me. You won't have to worry about me not assembly. If I'm a member of Highland Heights, me not listening or visiting somewhere. No, because I understand my relationship is with the congregation. I have chosen to serve with that congregation. What do you mean, Brother Stiles? I serve there. My contributions go there. Now, I may help somebody else, but my primary contribution helps where I am where I serve at. You have to ask me about where my money is going. It's going to the Lord where I serve. I serve at the Highland Heights Church of Christ. Yeah. That's where I am. And I'm not going. Paul Peter says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. You're going to stay in the right direction. And know what he says. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What Peter says, see, you don't have to worry about when we die. We simply make a transition from one life to the other. But Paul Peter said, for so an interim. That's where Jesus talked about you cannot enter into the kingdom. That's a way in which you enter into the kingdom. Peter said, it shall be ministered unto you abundantly or richly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The everlasting kingdom, there's only one kingdom that's everlasting. That is the church of Christ. And let me say to the Brother Brooks here this morning, you're on the call this afternoon. There is no such thing as a denomination in the New Testament church. None. You can't even find the word Catholic in the Bible. Seventh-day Adventist, you can't find in the Bible. Methodist, you can't find in the Bible. Protestant, you can't find in the Bible. And when it comes to the word Baptist, Baptist was a man's occupation and not his religion. John was a baptizer. That was his job, not his religion. The only one you find in the Bible says in Romans 16 and 16, salute one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. That is the descriptive phrase of the church. And when we say Highland Heights, Church of Christ, Highland Heights simply gives the locale of the church. Fifth Ward Church of Christ simply gives the locale of the church, but it's still the one church, the Church of Christ. So how do I get there? As I've said before in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And notice now, and the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. There is not a saved person outside of the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He only has one. He only has one. You know, let me share this with you, because when I talked about seven, I talked about completeness. In Ephesians chapter 4, you'll find, again, we talk about completeness. There are seven ones in that completeness. There is one body. And we know from, you read your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 22, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to, notice now, the church, singular, the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the church, Christ had a physical body when he lived. Now that he's gone back to heaven, he has a spiritual body. So in Ephesians 4:4, when he says there is one spiritual body, that's the church of Christ. There is one spirit, the Holy Spirit. Even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, we should all have one hope, and that's to go to heaven when life is over. You have one Lord, that's Jesus. There is only one faith. Some people say, well, you got your faith and I got my faith. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says there is only one faith. There is only one baptism. You are baptized for the remission of sins. You don't Christian no baby and baptize them. That's not in the Bible. There's only one baptism, and that baptism is for the forgiveness of your sins. There's only one God and one Father of all. Notice, one body, that's one. One spirit, that's two. One hope, that's three. One Lord, that's four. One faith, that's five. One baptism, six. One God, that's seven. That's the completeness of God. When you see seven, it talks about completeness. And these seven graces, going back to Peter's letter, those are the seven things. That's complete. That's all you need. And Peter said, you have those graces. an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly or richly into the everlasting kingdom. Once you in, you do those things that Peter said you should add to your faith, and you should never fall away or leave the direction. So how does one begin to ensure a place for themselves in heaven, and at the same time become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ? Let's listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, and the verse is number 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And he," talking about Jesus, "said unto them, Go ye into all the world." Notice Jesus died for the world, "and preach the gospel to every creature." Now share what that gospel was in Acts chapter 13, verses 29 through 31. The gospel is, that, and it's also found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And Jesus said, "He that believeth that and is baptized shall be saved." Let me share this here. You can't be taught wrong and then baptized right. You can't be taught to be baptized in the denominational and then that baptism serves you to become a member of church right. No, you have to be taught properly, and then you have to be obey truth, and then you come up. Nobody in darkness can teach you about light because they're in darkness themselves. You have to be translated into, you got to believe and be baptized into Christ. See, Paul said that when he talked to the church in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, I'm saying this to now, I'm reaching out to those that are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm reaching out to you now because right now, in Colossians 1:13, what can happen to you or for you is God can, notice what Paul said, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom being the church, Matthew 16, 18, and his son being Christ. So it's the same thing as the church of Christ, which is simply a descriptive phrase to identify the church that belongs to Christ. So how do I do it as I close? In Romans chapter 6, right now, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, for the remission of your sins, from someone that's teaching you in the Lord's church, you are in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Paul reminded them that we're Christians. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right now, you're continuing in sin. Paul said, God forbid, or God won't allow. How shall we, notice now, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Christ died for sin. We die to sin. Then he says, know ye not that so many of us as were, notice now, baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. The only way you get into Christ, the only way you get into church, you have to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, meaning Christ's death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so what happens is, when you're water baptized, what Christ does, notice, Christ died for sin, you die to sin, Christ was buried in a tomb. You're buried in a liquid tomb. It's called baptism. Christ rose from the dead by the glory of the Father. You rise to a newness of life. And notice now, for if we have been planted together, that means now you're with Christ. In the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so if you're on the call that Brother Brooks shared this morning so excellently, you're on the call tonight, you're not a Christian. What am I asking you to do? I'm asking you, you can ask us now. You can make the confession now on the call. Hit 5-star and make the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we will get with you and we will get you water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sins. And then according to Acts 2:47, the Lord then will add you to the church of Christ, the only one you can read about in the Bible. I thank you this afternoon. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do what the Bible says, you don't have to worry about heaven. Don't get caught up in life. Live for the Lord. Thank you very much.